Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, hard-hitting American history podcast told through entertaining stories. History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast. Available wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Shout out to my guy Garrett Chapman. He just took over for Noel White. Did a great job holding it down behind the glass. She's headed to State Farm Arena to watch the Dream and the Aces. Hopefully we get a big win for the Dream tonight. I'll be headed to that game after I leave here as well, taking you up until 1 o'clock. John Fricky coming on afterwards. But had to give my guy G-Chap a shout-out because, one, he always does a great job and always love hanging out with Garrett. But he knows my heart. He knows I'm a Drake fan, Drake stan. And, yes, we will talk about Iceman coming up in about 39 minutes from now. I have listened to all three albums, and I do have thoughts, and I'll give them to you. And you can give me your thoughts on them as well, when we get to Grillin' Dylan, we can talk about whatever you like. Yeah. Music, movies, life, sports, whatever you want to get into. I was also talking about when, again, if you're just joining us, I was talking about the story coming out of Aaron Rodgers coming back and signing with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And obviously the Falcons take on the Steelers in week one in Pittsburgh. And now we know Aaron Rodgers is going to be the QB for the Steelers in that one. And in the story, they were talking about how the Aaron Rodgers and his teammates were out getting ice cream Friday night. And it just made me think about what are the best creameries, the best ice cream shops, not only in Georgia, but if you've experienced or had some outside of the state or the city, you can weigh in with those as well, too. So if you have a thought on that, we'll take your calls on that as well. 404-726-0929. Garrett, you got a favorite creamery or ice cream shop?
Have you ever been to the Mayfield Dairies in, or is that up and around Knoxville?
I have not.
It's like eating a potato chip off the conveyor belt.
Wow.
It is so good.
Oh my goodness, it does sound good.
Yeah. And I've driven past it a few times when I would go back and forth to Lexington with Andy.
Yeah.
And we still haven't stopped with her yet.
Oh, really?
We need to stop there.
So Andy hasn't been there?
She hasn't been there yet.
Wow.
But I need to take her.
Yeah, you do, bro.
But it is so good. You get a tour of the whole facility, and then it comes with a free scoop of ice cream.
Bro, I bet this.
It's so good.
I bet the smell in there, too. Oh, I bet it smells
it's great.
Absolutely amazing. Just all the aromas of the ice cream. Because I was talking about this, too, when I was talking about it earlier. Like, when you go to, like, a creamery, and again, I said this before, too. I love my McFlurries. I love my, you know, frosted lemonades and milkshakes from Chick-fil-A. I love all that. So I love the fast food desserts as well, too. But when you go to actually a legit creamery, a legit ice cream shop, you can just smell the difference. It's just that specific aroma of the ice cream and it hits different, man. It's different. So no, for sure. But we can definitely get into that conversation if you have a thought on your favorite creamer, if you have a favorite creamer or ice cream shop, whether it's here in Georgia or somewhere else. In the States as well, too, when we get to Grillin' Dylan. But for now, I do want to go back to the Atlanta Falcons. We talked about a little bit earlier, talking about the Falcons' 2026-27 schedule. I do want to get into the good, the bad, and the ugly of this Falcons' schedule. And I'll start with the good. The good is the fact that you got an early Thursday night game and a late bye week. I think that combination is good, especially when you put on top of the fact that your early Thursday night game is against Green Bay, and that game is in Green Bay. So it is way better, and it's going to be way more pleasant for the players and for fans too, I guess, to take on the Green Bay Packers in September rather than taking on the Green Bay Packers in Lambeau in December. Going to be a lot more pleasant as far as the weather goes. So the fact that you are able to play in Green Bay in September is a good thing. And speaking of potential cold weather games that you got out of, playing the Steelers in Pittsburgh in week one is also a dodging of the bullet because we know it can get cold in Pittsburgh as well. So the fact that you're playing the Steelers in Pittsburgh week one, September 13th, that should be a much more pleasant game as well. So the fact that you got the Pittsburgh, you got the Steelers in Pittsburgh in September, the Green Bay Packers in Green Bay in September is good. And then obviously an early Thursday night game, which means an early mini bye week, is good as well. And then you got the regular bye week, week 11. I think that's around just the perfect time for a bye week. Again, you're a little bit more than midway through the season, and you're not going to have a too early bye week, which is what you had last year, or a super late bye week, which, you know, you don't really want either. So, but I think that's just about in the perfect spot where you're just about a little over midway through the season. So I think all those things are good about the schedule. What could also be good about the schedule, and this honestly could go either way. The fact that you finish the season with the division, meaning your last three games are all against the NFC South. Week 16 against Tampa Bay week 16 in Tampa Bay, not in Tampa Bay, in Atlanta. Week 16 in Atlanta playing against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Week 17 against the New Orleans Saints in Atlanta, and then you finish the season in Carolina taking on the Panthers. That could either be really good or it could either be really bad, because obviously if you've taken care of business and done what you've needed to do, then that could be good. Or if you, you know, are right there in striking distance of taking on the, of maybe winning the division, that could also be good. So it just depends on obviously where the Falcons are at when it comes to the division and the standings and things like that. So that can either be good or bad. Now, what's definitely not going to be fun for the Falcons is the absolute gauntlet that you have definitely weeks 5 through 10, but you could honestly probably call it weeks 3 through 10, because you talk about Jordan Love and the Packers, playoff team, taking them on week 3 Thursday night, then having go to New Orleans in week 4, taking on the Saints, and what's going to be the, I think it's the 20th anniversary of when the Saints came back to the Dome and after Hurricane Katrina. Obviously, that was the Gleason game with the block punt and all that. So you have that. And then you are at home for three straight weeks, but it's against Lamar Jackson, the Baltimore Ravens, Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears, Brock Purdy and the San Francisco 49ers. I mean, those are three just brutal games. Again, luckily it's at home, but that is just a tough stretch. And then after that, you get the privilege of going to Tampa to take on Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers. Then you have to go to Madrid to take on Joe Burrow, Ja'Marr Chase, T. Higgins, and the Cincinnati Bengals. And then after that, you get to come home and take on Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs. That is daunting. Packers week 3, Saints week 4 in New Orleans, and then Green Bay again in Green Bay week 3, in New Orleans week 4, Ravens at home week 5, Bears at home week 6, 49ers at home week 7, Tampa Bay in Tampa Bay week 8, Bengals in Madrid in week 9, and then week 10, Mahomes and the Chiefs. And by the way, maybe besides the Saints, and the Saints again improved, it seemed like they started to figure some things out last year with Tyler Shuck, and they, even though as much as I hate the Aints and hate to compliment them, they did have a nice draft, and they did some good things during free agency. The Aints could be much improved this year, and they could possibly, maybe, make some noise in division, depending on, you know, if Tyler Shuck has a sophomore slump or not. So, putting all that together, the Packers, playoff team, Saints, could be better. And again, that's always going to be a tough game just because of the rivalry itself, and it's in New Orleans. Tough game. Ravens, pretty much going to be a playoff team, or, you know, you expect them to be a playoff caliber team. Same thing with the Bears, 49ers, Buccaneers, division game, and you expect them to be, you know, competing for a spot in the playoffs as well too. Bengals, if they're healthy, they're a playoff caliber team. And the Chiefs, they could be a Super Bowl caliber team if they're healthy and they got all things clicking. So again, that's why I say you could say weeks 3 through 10 just could be an absolute gauntlet for the Falcons. And again, luckily you do have three straight home games mixed into that, but man, that is going to be a tough stretch for the Falcons.
All I know is that I saw a lot of chatter early in the week talking about how the Falcons have the fifth easiest schedule.
Absolutely not.
But strength of record, they're the fifth easiest schedule.
Yeah, for sure.
But when you actually dig into the teams they're playing.
Yeah, those numbers lie.
Those are, numbers very much lie.
Yes.
numbers are the biggest liars. It's what, politicians, data, and whatever the expression is. But all of them lie. Yeah. They all lie.
They all lie.
And numbers lie. And it's like, once you actually look at the schedule like you've done, like the NFC North, one of the most competitive division, the most competitive division in the NFL last year.
Yes.
Like every team finished with an above, had a winning record last mm-hmm. year. And then you go to the AFC North, consistently one of the most winning divisions in football.
Absolutely.
And then it's like, oh, by the way, your third place teams, here are the San Francisco 49ers, here are the Kansas City Chiefs. It's like, and here Washington are the
Detroit
Commanders.
And the Detroit Lions.
Yeah,
you brought them up too. So.
But it's like, my God. What are we doing here?
Right.
Like, this is ridiculous. Where's the layup week?
Right.
Not even there a division play. The thing is, and the NFC South got a lot of flack, and rightfully so. They have a division winner who had a losing record last year. I get it.
Right.
But at the same time, there is no bad team, quote unquote, in the division. All four teams can go on and win the division title. All four teams.
Yeah.
I can make a case for all of them. I don't think I can say that about most divisions. You know, so there is no layup game. There is no Jets. There is no Cardinals. There's nothing like that. There's no Titans.
Nope.
There's no layup. And I think it's going to be, this is tough, man. This is a tough schedule.
It's a tough, man. And I'm glad you brought up the thing about the Falcons, according to opponent record last year, having the fifth easiest schedule, because that is a fact. They do, according to their opponent's win percentage last year, have the fifth easiest schedule. Garrett is absolutely true when he says that. But as the point he also made, and we talked about this earlier too, we brought it up earlier, that don't mean Jack Diddley squat, because teams change so much and evolve so much year after year. The Detroit Lions, yes, they had a down year last year. Don't expect them to have a down year this year. The Kansas City Chiefs last year had a down year last year. Don't expect the same from them this year. The Washington Commanders, if they stay healthy, they could easily be a playoff team. Talk about the Cincinnati Bengals. If they stay healthy, easily a playoff team. So, and even if you want to look at the Minnesota Vikings, depending on what kind of Kyler Murray you get, that could be a team that's still good. I know they lost some pieces defensively too, but that could still be a very good team if you get good quarterback play out of Kyler Murray or J.J. McCarthy, even though I think Kyler Murray is probably going to win the quarterback competition. Either way it goes, though, if the Vikings get good quarterback play, that could be a good team as well. So, to Garrett's point, there's no layup in this schedule. I see no games out of the 17 the Falcons play, it's like, yeah, they should definitely win that game. For sure. 100%. Absolutely not. I don't see any game that I'm like, yeah, the Falcons are going to be favored by at least 7 in this game. No. None. No game. So, Falcons are going to have to earn every single win they get this year. And look, it always plays out to where there's a team that, you know, unfortunately has some injuries by the time you play them, and they're going to look a lot different than we think they're going to look now. And, you know, there's always going to be the games where you win some games that you maybe shouldn't have won, and you lose some games that you feel like, man, we really shouldn't have lost that game. There are always those in there too, but the moral of the story is that this is not going to be easy for the Falcons. So, and look, I'll say this real quick. Gary, I know you want to chime in real quick here, but I'll say this. As far as the Falcons go in and what should be deemed a successful season and not, I think we shouldn't necessarily be looking at the Falcons' win-loss record. Look, I know wins and losses is at the end of the day how you deem success, but at the end of the day, I think figuring out what you do or don't have in Michael Penix Jr., figuring out what you need to do or hopefully maybe don't need to do if Michael Penix Jr. is the guy, figuring out what your future is at quarterback is going to be the main thing that the Falcons need to figure out this season, and figuring out who is and who is not a part of the foundation of this team moving forward. I think if you can do those things, then I think you can ultimately come away from this season and deem it at least a little bit of a successful year.
And there's also the fact that the Falcons, you talk about they're not favored, there's not a game that they're going to be favored by 7 points.
Yeah.
They're only favored in 2 games this season.
Yeah, I'm not surprised.
You look ahead at it, it's the second week of the season against the Carolina Panthers at home.
Yeah.
And then I believe it's the New Orleans Saints at home.
Yeah.
In week 17.
Yeah.
Those are the only 2 games that you're favored in. Now, what does that mean? like you said, jack diddly. Means absolutely nothing. And you're judging a team that doesn't even know who they are right now.
Right.
Right. You don't know who their quarterback is. You don't know a lot of different factors involved with this. Right. So it's going to be fluid. It's going to change. Things are going to come and go. But it's not that the NFL thinks that the Falcons are going to be very good. That's also just a reality. But we'll see.
We'll see.
A lot of things change because you have some. You have a lot of talent and you have stability up top. Then that's the expect. That is the positive silver lining on this, I guess.
Absolutely. So we'll see what ends up playing out, and we'll see how the Falcons fare this year. But again, still a lot to be figured out between now and when toe meets leather in Week 1, Sunday, September 13th in Pittsburgh against the Steelers. All right. When we come back here, we're going to get to our penultimate segment here on this extended version of the Hometown Take here on a Sunday afternoon now. And we're going to get back into the Atlanta Braves loss to the Boston Red Sox. I know I promised I was going to let you hear from Walt Weiss in the last time we talked about the Braves. We didn't quite get to it because I wanted to touch on another NFL story I hadn't gotten to yet. But this time, for sure, going to let you hear from Walt Weiss, talk about the decision, keeping Bryce Elder in, and, again, explain why last night's loss did maybe sting a little bit, for sure. But, again, when we talk about these Braves, there's really nothing to complain about. We'll get into it next year on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday afternoon on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez. August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Lemonade! Fresh squeeze lemonade! Lemonade? Oh, nuts.
Is your business struggling to be seen? Not reaching the right customers?
Yeah.
Odyssey's here to help. Your one-stop shop for digital marketing.
Wait, really?
With targeted digital media, plus SEO, SEM, social, OTT, and more, we help your business reach the right audience and drive results.
Whoa, hey, one at a time.
Stop missing out on valuable customers. Visit digitallocalads.com to learn more about our local advertising solutions. That's digitallocalads.com.
Okay, people, mine starts here.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday afternoon. Penultimate segment here as we will hand things off to the Frickster, John Fricky, coming up at the top of the hour, 1 o'clock. I appreciate you all tuning in. Still got plenty of time to get into plenty of things here before we, again, hand things off to John Fricky at 1 o'clock. Going to talk some Braves here in just a couple of minutes. Also, you hear it, the Iceman, that boy Drake, dropping three albums. Friday, well, it was Friday at midnight, Thursday at midnight, whatever you want to call it, whatever you want to get into. Either way it goes, he gave us some new music, some new bangers. I do have thoughts on all three albums. I have listened to all three albums, and I've listened to a bunch of songs more than once. I've listened to most of Iceman twice, and I've only been able to go through Habibti and Maid of Honor once straight through, but I've listened to a bunch of songs more than once. So I do have plenty of thoughts to give on the new Drake projects. If you have a thought on them, we'll take your calls on that. 404-726-0929 coming up in about 16 minutes from now. We can talk about whatever you like. Yeah. We've also been talking about your favorite creameries, your favorite ice cream shops, because we found out that Aaron Rodgers is coming back to the Pittsburgh Steelers. One-year deal worth up to $25 million. And part of the story was that, you know, Aaron Rodgers, he came for a visit. He went to Pittsburgh for a visit this weekend. And once I heard that, I knew he was going to sign. You're not going to Pittsburgh for a visit unless you completely intend on signing. But either way, Friday he was in Pittsburgh and he was getting some ice cream with his teammates. A little bit of team bonding there of ice cream. Never a bad thing. And so that got me thinking, you know, what are the best ice cream shops and creameries around? Got, you know, when I think of places, I love, even though I know this is a chain, but still, I love me some Andy's Frozen Custard. I love me some Cold Stone Creamery. Love me some Brewster's. There's a few other ones around too. I forget, Garrett, do you know the one that's in Atlantic Station? I think it's got like a German name to it. I have to look it up. I can't Can't remember off the top of my head. I can find it too here in a second. But regardless, I was thinking about the best creameries out there, best ice cream shops. Yeah, Kilwins. Yes, yes, that's exactly what I was thinking about. Kilwins is another very good one. Thank you for finding that for me, G. Yes, Kilwins is a good one. So there's a few out there that I really, really enjoy. And again, just when you step into a creamery, man, and the smell just hits different. Now I want some ice cream. Gosh darn it. But maybe that'll be after the Dream Game. Because I am going to go to the Dream Game, and should be a fun matchup. Dream Aces in State Farm Arena. Asia Wilson will be in the building along with Chelsea Gray. And should be a fun matchup. Angel Reese, Ryan Howard. I think Brianna Jones is still on the mend for the Dream as well. I'm pretty sure she's going to be out of the lineup. But Nas Hillman and that very, very good Dream lineup. Should be a fun matchup between the Dream and the Aces coming up here in about an hour's time from now, about an hour and 10 minutes. So we'll talk more about that a little bit later on next segment as well. But should be a fun matchup tonight. Also should be a fun matchup this afternoon between the Braves and the Red Sox. Rubber match between the Braves and the Red Sox after Braves won the first game 3-2. Then last night the Red Sox won 3-2. And it was just an unfortunate couple of happenings for the Braves last night. Bryce Elder gets the first two outs in the eighth inning very quickly, and he had just been mowing guys down. Had a little bit of trouble. I forget which inning it was, but I think it was like the fourth inning. Yeah, he ran into a little bit of trouble in the fourth, but after that, it just seemed like he was getting outs left and right and got the first two outs fairly quickly in the eighth inning. And then a runner gets on, and then Wilson Contreras, just good piece of hitting, goes down. I think it was a slider that Bryce Elder threw. Goes down and just got a slider and put it in the bullpen. And so the Red Sox bullpen. And so it was just, again, a good piece of hitting from Wilson Contreras, and just tough for Bryce Elder because he had been so good and just really made that one mistake. It was really just that one mistake for Bryce, and still made it through eight innings, only giving up three runs. Last time I checked, that's a darn good start. So I hope Braves fans this morning, afternoon, aren't being too tough on Bryce Elder, because if we're going to complain about anything last night, we need to complain about the offense. And again, really shouldn't be complaining about anything overall, because again, the Braves are still 31-15 and have an eight-game lead over the next two best teams in the NL East. So we got nothing to complain about here in the ATL when it comes to our baseball team. But if there's anything you want to see not happen, you don't want to see batters 2-8 go 0-for last night, because that's exactly what happened. Drake Baldwin and Jose Azokar were the only two guys, your one hitter, your leadoff hitter, and your nine hitter, the only two guys that got hits last night. Drake Baldwin, the solo home run, and then hit the RBI single that scored Jose Azokar after he hit a double. So other than that, there was no other offense. So if you're going to complain about anything, you need to complain about that. But I do want to let you hear from the skipper, Walt Weiss, talking about overall the Braves 3-2 loss to the Red Sox last night.
I thought Bryce gave us exactly what we needed on a night we needed. We're obviously really thin out there in the pen, but, you know, we only scored two runs. Needed to score some more runs tonight, but Bryce gave us exactly what we needed. Did an outstanding job. And Martin, once again, you know, comes in and puts an inning down in that role. So we made some noise there in the ninth, but, you know, just didn't score enough runs.
Yeah, didn't even talk about what transpired in the ninth. Ninth inning, bases loaded, two outs. Ha-Seong Kim hits an absolute rocket. 104 miles per hour off the bat, I'm pretty sure, onto the foot of Aroldis Chapman. And you think, okay, it's going to ricochet away from Chapman just enough to where it kind of goes in between no man's land between him and the pitcher and Wilson Contreras, the first baseman. Nope. Aroldis Chapman jumps up after getting hit in the foot, again, by a rocket of a baseball. So good for him to jump up as quickly as he did, get to the ball, toss it over to Contreras, and get Ha-Seong Kim out at first base and end the game. And Ha-Seong Kim did all he could. He was busting it down the line, slid head first into first, but Chapman got him in time. So again, just two back-to-back tough plays for the Braves. When we talk about Contreras going down and golfing that home run off of Bryce Elder, that two-run homer off of Bryce Elder to take the lead. And then the ninth, base is loaded, and just a tough play and a good play from Aroldis Chapman there to end the game. So just, again, a couple of tough plays. And so, like, the game last night does sting a little bit, but at the end of the day, Braves can still go win them the series this afternoon. Do want to let you hear Walt Weiss, though, talk about the decision to leave Bryce in the game, let him work in the eighth, and just kind of what his whole thought process was for that inning.
Going back out for the eighth, once he got the first two guys out and he got two quick outs, he was going to go through Contreras. Now, if one guy got on with one out and Abreu comes up, that's where Martin's coming in the game. But once he got the first two outs, and his pitch count was still okay, once he got the first two outs, he's going to go through Contreras at that point. Just unfortunate that ball left a yard. But Bryce was still throwing the ball well. Pitch count was still okay. Didn't have his best slider tonight.
Yeah, again, it just, like I said, Walt said it too. He got those first two outs so quickly. You're thinking, oh yeah, he's gonna get through this and he'll be just fine. And the Braves will have a chance to go get themselves another win. But Contreras, good piece of hitting. And again, that pitch wasn't even it wasn't the best pitch, but it wasn't the worst pitch either. It could have been a little bit more outside, but Contreras still had to go down and hit it. And he's a professional hitter, just like, you know, Bryce is a professional pitcher. Guys are professional hitters, and you hear the term in basketball all the time. Sometimes all the time, good offense just beats good defense. And that's kind of what happened last night. Contreras just beat Bryce Elder on that one, got the best of him. So it was what it was. Tough night again for the Braves, losing 3-2, but they got a chance to still get the series win tonight, this afternoon, I should say, against the Red Sox. First pitch set for 1:35. Gonna have Grant Holmes on the mound for the Bravos and Brian Bellow on the mound for the Red Sox. So hopefully Bellow's gotten touched up a little bit this year. I think he has, a 6.35 or 6.46 ERA. And Grant Holmes, again, he's been kind of up and down himself this year. Bellow, by the way, it's a 6.46 ERA. And 39 innings pitched. He's given up 8 home runs this year. So maybe we can get a few long balls from a few other Bravos than Drake Baldwin, who has been absolutely scorched earth in this series. It feels like he's got, 2 solo homers, had the RBI single last night. So Drake Baldwin just continuing to be on a tear this season. But hopefully we can get some offense from some more guys. Matty O, Ozzy, Mauricio Dubon, who's been playing well this season. Hopefully we can get some offense from him. Austin Riley, too. So hopefully we can get some more offense from, again, more guys than just the leadoff guy and Drake and the 9-hitter and Jose Azokar. So hopefully you get some more offense from 2 through 8, whoever those guys are, this afternoon. But hopefully Grant can have himself a good outing. Again, been up and down so far this season. 2-1 on the year, 4.35 ERA. And hopefully the Braves can get themselves another series win and have some good mojo and good momentum heading into their next series, which starts tomorrow as they will start a 4-game set against the Miami Marlins. But when we come back here on Hometown Take, it is the final segment, and you know what that means. We can talk about whatever you like. Yeah. Movies, music, life, sports. I will give you my thoughts on all 3 Drake albums that he released Thursday at midnight. I'll give you my thoughts overall on just the album rollout, what he did on the actual release night. And, of course, give you my thoughts on the album. Also, if you have a thought on the Braves, did you have a problem with Walt Weiss bringing Bryce Elder back out for the 8th inning? Also, if you have a thought on your favorite ice cream shop, whether in the state of Georgia, city of Atlanta, or maybe elsewhere around the United States, we'll take your calls on that, too. Phone lines are open right now. 404-726-0929 is the number. 404-726-0929 is the number. Your favorite ice cream. If you got a thought on Drake's 3 newest albums, and if you got a thought on Bryce Elder coming back out for the 8th, was that a good move by our skipper Walt Weiss or not? Take calls on all that and more when we come back here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday afternoon on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, 2 of boxing's biggest take center stage. Rolly Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Rolly Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Hey, it's Jen Hatmaker. Here's what I've learned in midlife. Joy isn't the reward you earn after all the work is done. Joy is the work. That's what this new series on For the Love is all about. The sacred, yes. It's choosing delight, rest, and pleasure on purpose. Because saying yes to yourself, that's the thing that finally lets you fill your table with everybody else. Come find your sacred yes with me. Follow and listen to For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take. Live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Sunday afternoon. I appreciate y'all hanging out with me. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well at 929 The Game. That's where you can find the station. And make sure you download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station wherever you are and whenever you want to. Got John Freaky coming up at the top of the hour, but still got just about 16 minutes to play with here. We are going to get to Grill and Dylan here in just a couple of minutes. Go ahead and get your phone calls in, 404-726-0929. We can talk about whatever you like. Yeah. Movies, music, life, sports, whatever you want to get into. If you have a thought on the Falcons' schedule, we now know their 2026-27 schedule, how it all shapes out. If you have a thought on the Falcons schedule, you can give me a call right now, 404-726-0929. If you have a thought on the Braves, did Walt Weiss make a mistake by letting Bryce Elder go back out for the eighth inning last night? Obviously, he gets two outs fairly quickly in the eighth, talking about Elder, and then runner gets on, and then he gives up the two-run homer to Wilson Contreras, and that would be all she wrote. Braves made some noise in the ninth. Bases get loaded, two outs. Ha-Seong Kim hits a rocket, hits the foot of Aroldis Chapman. Chapman does a great job bouncing back up quickly after he fell down, after getting hit by the ball off of Kim's bat in the foot. Bounces up quickly, gets Kim out at first, even with the diving headfirst effort by Kim into first base. So Braves lose it 3-2. They'll go for the series win this afternoon, 1:35 first pitch for that one. So if you have a thought on the Braves, we'll take your calls as well, 404-726-0929. If you want to give me a little bit of insight to your sweet tooth and let me know where your favorite ice cream shop or creamery is at, you can also give me a call, 404-726-0929. And if you have a thought on Drake's latest three albums, Iceman, if you are just tuning in and you've never heard the Hometown Take before, I appreciate you tuning in first and foremost. Hope you're having a great weekend. But I am an avid Drake fan. You could even call me a Drake stan. I think I fit into that category. And Drake can pretty much do no wrong in my eyes. I'll be straight up honest with you. I usually love everything he puts out. And these three projects are no different, because there are some songs on Maid of Honor, which is kind of the dance hall international vibe album, because Iceman, he was just straight up rapping. That's just pretty much rap, hip hop. Habibti is the R&B album, a lot more slower, slow jam type of songs. And then again, Maid of Honor is the kind of international, boppy, club banger type vibe. So when it comes to Iceman, I love every song on Iceman. There's no song that I don't like. I love every single song on Iceman. That's the hip-hop rap album. And he has some just absolute bangers on there. I mean, first of all the Make Them songs, Make Them Cry, Make Them Pay, Make Them Remember, Make Them Know. I mean, just bars on top of bars, getting his disses off. He dissed so many people on this album. He dissed Jay-Z. He dissed, obviously, Kendrick Lamar. He dissed J. Cole. He dissed Pharrell. He dissed Pusha T. He dissed LeBron James. He dissed DeMar DeRozan. There were so many disses. So many people the boy had to get at, because they switched up. And they picked a side. And it wasn't Drake's side. And now he's making them pay. So the bars he was given, the boppers, I mean, when you talk about National Treasure, when you talk about Dust, I feel like enough people, you know, a lot of people are talking about Janis, STFU, a lot of people talking about Shebang, a lot of people are talking about Too Hard for the Radio, which everybody should be talking about because those are great songs. But enough people aren't talking about Dust. Dust is an absolute banger. So I love Dust as well, too. Also, he's back with Future, which I absolutely love. Him and Future have a song on this one, along with Molly Santana. But I like the fact that him and Future are making music again. There were rumors that Future, after he was pictured recording a song and he had Drake's Nocta brand wearing while he was recording, there was at that point there was like, okay, him and Drake might be cool again. And I was hoping so because him and Future just make such good music together. I was like, man, I don't care if you ever make a song with Kendrick or whoever again, but at least make some more music with Future because y'all make too good music together not to come back together. And they did. So I did like that. And the fact of, you know, I won't go all the way back into the Kendrick Lamar beef and, you know, who and everybody else he was beefing with. But, you know, for what he pretty much did not say about Future during that, you know, when he came out with why am I forgetting the diss track Drake came out with? And it's a great diss track, too. So I shouldn't be forgetting it. And as a Drake fan, I should not forget it. I'll have it here in a second. But when he came out with Family Matters, that's what I'm thinking about. When he came out with Family Matters, and obviously he had a few words for Future on there. It was very mild, though, what he said. So I figured that him and Future, there was a good possibility they could be back making songs together again. And they are. So that's good. But Iceman, 10 out of 10. They give you my rating, 10 out of 10 on Iceman. I love every single song. To me, no skips on Iceman. 10 out of 10. Habibti, I like all the songs on Habibti. There are songs that I like a lot more than others, like High Fives, I'm Spent, Classic, Gen 5. That I'm Spent, Classic, Gen 5 run on Habibti, crazy. Fort Worth with Party Next Door, nice as well. Oh, Slap the City, too. I can't forget Slap the City. Really, again, all the songs are good. But my favorites are Slap the City, Gen 5, Classic. Those are probably my top three. If I had to give you top three, I'd probably give you those three. And then Maid of Honor, for Maid of Honor, you just have to be in a certain type of vibe, certain type of mindset. It's very much like Honestly Nevermind. Like, you don't listen to Honestly Nevermind if you're in an R&B mood or you want to listen to some rap. Like, you listen to Honestly Nevermind and you would listen to Maid of Honor if you're in the house chilling, you know, maybe doing some cleaning, or if you're in that, like, I want to get up and dance, move and groove type of vibe. So you would just have to be in a certain type of mindset to listen to Maid of Honor. And there are some really good ones on there. I know a lot of people are going to have something to say about Cheetah Print. Cheetah Print is a very funny song, and it's catchy, too. It's boppy with him and Sexy Red. Which One, obviously, was one of the singles that he rolled out when he was getting people ready for the album. I like BBW a lot. New Bestie, Stuck. So there are some good ones on Maid of Honor, too. But you just have to be in the right mindset. You have to be in the right type of vibe to listen to Maid of Honor. So that's what I say about that. But Iceman, I can listen to anytime, anywhere, any part of the day. And for Habibti, just play Habibti if you on a night drive and you want to listen to some good R&B, listen to Habibti. Just play it straight through. That's what I would mention. And again, I will admittedly say I'm biased because I'm a Drake stan, but again, like I said, for Maid of Honor, there are some songs that I'm like, okay, that I will subjectively say on Maid of Honor, there are probably some songs that I won't revisit. But you just have to be, again, in the right mindset to listen to Maid of Honor. So overall, though, 10 out of 10. I mean, 10 out of 10. You get three Drake albums, and again, all three catering to, you know, different genres, again, with one being hip-hop, one being R&B, one being kind of dancehall. Again, I don't need to listen to any more music. The rest of you hip-hop artists can take the rest of 2026 off. I'm good. I'm good. I don't need to listen to anybody else the rest of 2026. I'm straight. I said this earlier, the only other music I'm looking forward to, the only other album I'm looking forward to actually is Lotto's album, which comes out May 29th, because the first two singles she dropped off this album she's going to drop, they were bangers. And so I'm looking forward to Lotto's album May 29th. But other than that, I ain't worried about no other artist and no other music. So, again, I'm going to be listening to Iceman, Habibti, and Maid of Honor for a long, long time. Those will probably be the only three albums. If it's up to me, those are going to be the only three albums. Like, if I'm in an environment where I can control the music, if I'm in my car and it's just me, or if I'm at home and it's just me and I'm listening to music, it's either going to be Iceman, Habibti, or Maid of Honor. Those are going to be the only three albums and songs off those albums that I'm going to be listening to. And that's going to be it's going to be that way for a long, long time. So those are my thoughts on that. If you have a thought on, again, the new Drake projects, if you have a thought on the Braves, if you have a thought on the Falcons 2026-27 schedule, or if you want to give me your favorite ice cream shop, all right, or creamery here in the city of Atlanta or state of Georgia or maybe anywhere else in the states, we can talk about all that right now because it is time to get to what we call Grillin' Dillin'. 404-726-0929 is the number. 404-726-0929 is the number. We can talk about whatever you like. Yeah. Music, movies, life, sports, whatever you want to get into, we can get into it right now. Like I said, you have a thought on the Falcons 2026-27 schedule? We can take your calls on that. You have a thought on the Braves? Did Walt Weiss leave Bryce Elder in for too long? What are your thoughts on that? We'll take your calls. If you have a thought on your favorite, if you want to tell me your favorite ice cream shop, you're either here in the city of Atlanta, state of Georgia, or anywhere else in the states, we can take your calls on that. Or if you have a thought on any of the new Drake music, we can take your calls and thoughts on that too.
I would be remiss if I didn't give Morelli's in Virginia Highlands a shout out.
They okay. Are,
that is, it is my favorite ice cream in the city.
What do you best, get? What do you get from there?
So their cookies and cream is spectacular.
I love it.
Oh, it's so good. But everything there is so good. It's very creamy.
Yes.
If you like that kind of, because you mentioned that, Cold Stone.
Yes. That's and what I, yes.
It's, it is, I would tell you, it's spitting distance from the studio. Head on over there. They publish their flavors rotate. Ooh. So you have to take a look at what they have, but pull it up on your phone. Do yourself a favor. Go get yourself a scoop of ice cream over there.
I might have to go do that. I'm going to the Dream Game after I leave here. After the Dream Game, though.
Do it on the way.
I have to go pick some people up, I think. So
everyone goes.
That's
go
true.
Support our local business.
But the game starts at 1:35, so I'm kind of in a time crunch, so I might have to do it after the game. That's all I'm saying. I might not have time before the game. I might have to go after the game. But we'll see.
It's okay. I mean, whenever you leave the studio, I mean, like, that's it.
That is true.
You leave the studio on the weekday. Nice afternoon scoop of ice cream.
Facts. Morelli's is definitely on my list, and I will definitely be hitting it up sooner rather than later. All right, let's go ahead and get to the phone lines. Let's head out and talk to Rick. Rick, what's going on, man? Good Sunday afternoon to you. How you feeling?
I'm good, man. Thanks for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
First of all, I had no problem with Elder on his performance, earning the right to go try to finish the eighth.
Same.
Contreras, baseball is baseball. But nobody's talked about the elephant in the room yet, Roll Tide. Why are we letting an 077 hitter that can't hit his weight, that we really don't need, bat in a game situation with Smith, Yaz, and Farmer on the bench, no telling how many more, against a elite closer? To me, nobody's brought it up. Call a spade a spade. He can't hit. And no. It's a game situation, bases loaded, two outs. You don't even have an out to give up. But yet we let him go to the plate. He was lucky he even got a bat on that closer's ball. So Smith is the most dominant pitch hitter in baseball right now. Why did Weiss go to sleep? He's a great manager. Don't take that wrong. He's done a great job. I have no complaints about the Braves.
Yeah.
But a little common sense. This cat's batting 077, and he's going to go up with the bases loaded, two outs, game on the line. Made no sense. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem, Rick. Appreciate the phone call. And that's actually a very solid point that Rick brings up because, look, he's referring to Ha-Seong Kim, if you didn't know who he was referring to. He's talking about Ha-Seong Kim being up bottom of the ninth last night, two outs, bases loaded. And Ha-Seong Kim obviously hasn't gotten off to the great start offensively this year. And look, I'm not blaming necessarily Ha-Seong Kim because he was hurt and he didn't have the spring training. He didn't have the ramp up that everybody else had. So he's still trying to find his rhythm. You know, he only had a few games of a rehab assignment to try and get his bat going. So I'm not blaming Ha-Seong Kim, or I'm not necessarily worried about Ha-Seong Kim long term as far as his offense goes, but Rick does make a point. I feel like Walt Weiss up to this point has been doing a great job of being aggressive and trying to put the Braves in position to go out and have a chance to go take games and go win games with authority and go take some games, and letting Ha-Seong Kim bat there felt like, you know, it felt like it could have been an opportunity to where, okay, yeah, you do put Yaz, who's been hot, and he did have the walk-off winner for you in the 10th inning in game one of this series, or Dom Smith, who's a professional hitter. You know, there were guys who could have come off the bench in that situation and pinch hit for Ha-Seong Kim, and it could help you win the game. Now, the only thing about that is, you know, who do you put in at shortstop if you do pinch hit for Kim? But you could have possibly figured that out. So I do definitely see Rick's point in that. But again, at the end of the day, like Rick said, it's a game, and you still got to go chance to win the series, so you don't want to complain too much about that. All right, let's get one more here before we head out of here and hand things off to John Fricke. Let's talk to Andrew. Andrew, good Sunday afternoon to you, man. How you feeling?
Hey, what's up, Dylan? Good afternoon. Yeah, hey, well, first off, I just want to say I appreciate your work. I don't always catch your morning show, but I don't catch your strays, but you catch a lot of strays throughout the day from other people regarding your Drake Stanhood. And that's fine because I'm a Drake Stan as well.
Hey,
so,
shouts out to you, man. We up right now, hey, Andrew. Yeah, we up right now.
Yeah, we're up. No, for sure. So I was just going to talk Ice Cream and Drake real quick.
Yes.
So I haven't really worked through all of the albums yet, but as far as Iceman goes, Janice, I can't say the other part of it, but that goes crazy. And then I like the ones that they always reference Atlanta. I mean, I'm from Miami, so but Ran to Atlanta goes crazy, and then I like Road Trip on Maid of Honor as well.
Yes.
And then as far as Ice Cream goes, I have like a special place with Brewster's, and then like I don't know if I can say Whitewash. Jenny's.
Oh, Jenny's is great too. Oh yes, Jenny's is a great call, Andrew. I love me some Jenny's. They're gooey butter. You had their gooey butter cake from Jenny's. That's absolutely amazing. So shout out Andrew, man. I appreciate the phone call. Good shouts there, and shout out to my guy Garrett. This is a little bit of dust right here. I mean, again, starts off, you think it's going to be kind of a R&B type vibe, and then he turns it up, my man. And he shouts out Atlanta in this song, too. So he's got one song called Ran to Atlanta, and then he's got this song where he shouts out to Atlanta. So we're going to let you, man, don't get me started. I'm about to go listen to some Iceman right now. Shout out to the Atlanta Dream. Good luck to the Atlanta Dream. Good luck to the Atlanta Braves, both taking on the Braves taking on the Red Sox coming up at 1:30. And the Dream taking on the Aces coming up here at 1:30 as well. That is my time, though. I appreciate y'all tuning in. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. And download that free Odyssey app so you can listen to the radio station whenever you can and whenever you want to, wherever you are and whenever you want to. John Fricke coming up next. He's going to take you from 1 to 5 this afternoon. And until I talk to y'all tomorrow morning at 5 a.m. sharp, Garrett, I appreciate you. Y'all have a great rest of your Sunday and a great rest of your weekend. Peace.
Girl, let's get real. Some pads are just diapers with a good PR team, but not the new Kotex BioCare. That's because Kotex BioCare helps defend against odor and irritants. And it's the first and only pad with this pH proactive system that helps optimize the pad's pH. Just think of it as self-care for down there. Check out Kotex.com for more details on the all-new Kotex, completely redesigned to meet your needs. You asked, we heard.
Las Vegas was built for stars. And on August 22nd, two of boxing's biggest take center stage. Raleigh Romero never follows the script.
This is my game.
Teofimo Lopez has never needed one.
This guy's got a big mouth.
For years, they've had plenty to say.
All you do is talk.
But with world championship gold on the line, can they back it?
Teo, I'm here. I'm going all in.
It's time to put up or shut up. Raleigh Romero versus Teofimo Lopez, August 22nd.
I'll shut you up.
Watch on DAZN and DAZN on Prime Video.
Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.